wonderful this summer, isn't that right? Hey, when we talk about spiritual authority, when we talk about brokenness, that Jesus Christ came to heal the brokenhearted, when we talk about inner healing and deliverance, we talk about a man of God, and some even I don't remember what we've been talking about. Today we want to talk about another man. His name is Jacob. He had an encounter with God. And our encounter is supernatural. Hallelujah. He had a supernatural encounter. That is something beyond human understanding. It's beyond the faculty of our five senses. My name is Gideon Nash. I'm the pastor here. In case you're wondering who I am, that's where I am. And today I'm going to talk on the subject, I am the God of Bethel. I am the God of Bethel. That is God speaking to Jacob. I am the God of Bethel. Shall we do some reading from Genesis chapter 28, verse 16 to 22, as it's been projected for us. Verse 16. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. Can you adjust the lens for me a little bit? Can you bring it back for me, please? When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place. Thank you. And I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on it, on top of it. He called this place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and watch over me on this journey that I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give a tenth. Amen. Can you squeeze it up for me a little bit so I can see the top of it? Thank you. I'm reading from a screen as well, so in case you're wondering if I'm seeing things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brom. Jacob made a vow, verse 20, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Now, the background to this was that Jacob, we know the story, or if some of you don't know, he cheated his brother for his birthright. And if I was him, I would be really upset. And his brother was rightly upset to the extent that he wanted to kill Jacob. So Esau wanted to kill his twin brother, Jacob. So Jacob started running away. He was living in fear. And for the father to help him out, he said, don't take no wife from the Canaanites. I want you to go far to my father's house in Haran, way back in the northern borders of Iraq, somewhere after Turkey. Go and take a wife from that place. Don't take a wife from the Canaanites, because the Canaanites are ungodly. That is his way of saying that I don't want you to get into trouble. I don't want your brother to kill you. So run. And he obeyed his father and was running. And whilst he was going, he had a dream. He was tired, so that evening he just picked up a stone and put it under his feet and rested his head. Probably put on his coat on it so that it would be a little bit softer as a pillow. But then he slept. And when he slept, he had a dream. And in the dream, he saw a ladder linking the earth and the heavens, and angels ascending and angels descending. And right at the top of it, God was standing there, and God spoke to him. And when he woke up, the Bible said that he was in reverent fear. Fear not as if, oh, what's happening to me? He was in reverent fear. The place was awesome. So when he woke up from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. And today I want you to know that surely the Lord is in this place, and you should be aware of it. Amen. Amen. Whoever is chasing you, whatever is chasing you, it might be your mistake or your greed or your smartness like Jacob was. But somehow along the line, I want to assure you today that the Lord is with you. Amen. It could have been you made a mistake. Yes, you have made a mistake. But God said, surely I am with you. So even as you take your rest, angels are descending and angels are ascending. And God is standing at the top of it looking at you and saying, my son, my daughter, I am with you. And he was afraid. That's New International Version always telling you that. He was in reverent fear. How awesome is this place? It's none other than the gate of heaven. He realized that even in his situation, he could see the gate of heaven because God was with him. And today my prayer is that you should begin to see the gates of heaven because God is with you. Amen? Amen? Yes. God is with you. Now, as we press on, push to verse 20, 21 for me. So, and we know that from verse 9, and he called the place Bethel. Bethel, because he poured an oil on there. I mean, the significance of the Holy Spirit. We have to sometimes activate the Holy Spirit. That's why sometimes here we say that God, having the Holy Spirit is a promise from God. And it's for every believer, not an unbeliever. So we have to desire the Holy Spirit because it's there to activate us, to make us strong, to help us to connect with God better. Because sometimes when you are praying, you run out of words and you don't know how to speak. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, that sometimes we don't know how to speak. We don't even know how to communicate, especially when you're under pressure and when you are distressed. You don't even know how to pray. But the Spirit himself will pray because he will speak as God understands. You understand that? The Spirit will pray as God understands. Because the Bible says anyone who prays in the unknown tongue does not talk to man but talk to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. So you are talking to God. So learn to talk to God. We're a Baptist church. But then God is not a Baptist. God is not a Catholic. God is not a Presbyterian. God is God. And let's begin to take the Bible seriously. Hallelujah. Always I pride myself to say I'm properly trained in the Baptist seminary, so you can't say that I'm a fake pastor. Hallelujah. Then Jacob, when he saw that, he poured an oil on that place and said, this place is going to be called different. It's no more going to be called Lord's. It's going to be called the house of God. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that he gives me, I'll give a tenth to God. Jacob made a vow. He made a vow to God. And God recognized that vow. And God put his name tied to the vow that he made. He made a vow in Bethel. He changed the name. He said, I want to change my focus. I want to change my attitude. If in the past I did not recognize and this place was lost to me, that means everything was carnal, everything was in the flesh, everything was how I see it. Today I want to see it from the point of God. And if I want to change my perspective, this place is no more going to be called Luz. It's going to be called Bethel, meaning the house of God. So for the first time, Jacob began to have a synergy. That is my new word for today. Had a synergy between him and the house of God. Amen. Suddenly there was a synergy. Suddenly there was a connection between Jacob and the house of God. And God remembered that he made a vow then. And therefore God also said, you know what? If there's a synergy or connection between you and the house of God, then I also want to recognize the connection between me and the vow that you made in the house of God. Hallelujah. We are teaching from scripture. Sometimes people, some preachers are afraid to look at a subject like that. But the Bible says, God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear. But the spirit of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Thank you. So you guys are being taught properly. And you smart student too. That is scripture. In case you don't know this in the Bible, it's in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And Timothy was a bishop, right? Young man in his 20s. How awesome it was. So young people over here, soon you'll be bishop. It doesn't mean that you have to wear some wonderful cloaks. I didn't think he wore any. So, making a vow is one of the most powerful prayers and statements that will come out of the mouth of anyone who worship God. Making a vow is one of the most powerful prayers and statement that will come out of the mouth of anyone who worship God. Jacob made a vow. Go back one verse. Jacob made a vow, verse 20. He made a vow for protection. If you will be with me, if you will watch over me on this journey that I'm taking and give me food to eat. He prayed for provision and he prayed for the presence of the Lord and he prayed for prosperity. Keep on going. And food to eat, verse 21. So that I return to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. He was also praying for peace over his life. He said, I'm making a journey. I don't know. He has never been there before. His father Abraham came from that place. But since then, his father was born in Canaan, Isaac. And he's always been in Canaan. He hasn't been across that river to that side. So he's making a journey that he has never been before, but he's heard about it. So, if God will give me peace, and today, some of you are about to take journeys. Be it a business journey, be it an academic journey, be it a spiritual journey, be it an interview journey, be it to get married or have kids, whatever the journey is, sometimes you haven't been there before. That particular one, you don't even know what is going to happen. And therefore, he was praying for God's peace to be upon him. And he wants to make sure he gets to that point, that place, his destiny, and return. So if God will be with me, if God will watch over me for me to return safely, thank you. See, sometimes you can blame the devil for nothing. And he has nothing to do with this, right? I said sometimes we blame the devil for nothing. And the problem I was having with the earphone is simply because it was stuck somewhere here and I couldn't pull it up. So the devil is not always, because he's a bad guy, he's always blamed for everything. Let me not digress here. So if God will be with him, if God will take him to his destiny, so whatever, journey that you are making today, journey in your life, what do you want to see? He was going to get married. That was his journey. But he was also running from his brother, Esau. He didn't want to kill him. But if God will be with me, because I don't know what is ahead of me, I don't know where the bumps and where the lakes and where the rivers are, I don't know where the mountains are, I don't know where the valleys are, but if God will be with me and bring me back, then the Lord will be my God. Hallelujah. If he will return me to my father's house, that means he's already looking to go and return back, right? He's already looking to fulfill his assignment. He's already looking to fulfill his destiny and come back. This is a real powerful statement of faith. Isn't that right? So, I would just want to say this. If you want to see all these things happen in your life, protection, provision, presence of the Lord, prosperity, peace, realizing your destiny, and to serve God faithfully, you should make it with a vow, like Jacob did. For a vow is powerful. God said, I am the God of Bethel. We'll read that soon as we get there. I would just dare to tell you that the vow is one of the ways to warfare against the devil in the area of your finances. Because one of the things that he's talking in verse 22, that, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, Bethel, and of all that you put in my hand, I'll give a tenth to you. Talking about money here too. So I said a vow, but he made that with a vow. So Jacob made a vow. He said, and the vow is one of the ways to warfare against the devil in the areas of finances. Because sometimes you put so much doubt in your head that it can't happen. God wants us to prosper in all things. Right? Some of you are scared about the word prosperity. And yet in the world we want to have promotion. In the world we want to have rise in salary and wages. We want to have bonuses. We want to have more kids. We want to fly first class. We want to do everything that everybody does. We want to drive the wonderful car and everything. Isn't that prosperity for you, relatively? So why are you afraid of the word prosper when the Bible talks about it? Never mind people who may be abusing the word. Forget about them. You said, I want to stick with the Bible. Say to somebody, I want to stick with the Bible.
I want to stick with the Bible.
Let me see you all talking about it. How I want to stick with the Bible. Thank you and God bless you, people of God. God wants us to prosper in all things and be in health as our souls prosper. Can you bring that verse for me? 3 John 1, 2. Dear friend, that is Apostle Paul writing to Gaius, one of the godly people. Say, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. See, NIV sometimes it frustrates me. Do we have any other version that is will help me out? But I can read off my head from New King James or something else. It says that, brother, I wish, oh beloved, right? I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. That's King James Version. That's good. Okay, we'll bring it to modern language. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. I wish above all things that you will prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Do you understand that? Ignore the prospereth. Prosper. You see, the Apostle John is saying that I am praying for you and it's my wish and it's my thought, it's my passion, it's my desire that you will prosper in health. It's in the Bible. So you must prosper in health if you are sick. We pray in the name of Jesus that you'll be healed. Because the Bible says that God, his name, in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, said, I am the Lord, your healer. Now that you've come out of Egypt, now you are in a different ball game. You're in a different land. Now that you are a Christian, I am the Lord, your healer. When the doctors work, when the ministers work and they cannot heal you, I am the Lord, your healer.
Amen?
Amen.
There
are nurses in this church, and I know that. They can't cure every disease. I'm the Lord, your healer. And Jesus himself also said in Mark chapter 16, I believe that, yes, verse 19, That, you know what, you shall lay your hands. No, verse 18. You shall lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. So, being in health is a godly thing. It is what God wants us to be. I mean, what do you gain by being sick? You tell me. If you love to be sick, that's your problem. God wants you to be well. So if you love to be sick, then that means you are contending against God. The same God that you said you worship, and he's your Lord and Master, and you obey, now you are contending against him. He says, I want to be healed. And so, I want to keep my sickness. Maybe God put it on me. Look at that. That's a loser's language. It's actually not in scripture, you know. So people who talk that way, they just don't want to obey God. That is it. And the enemy's lie is that. I mean, I must finish this message, so be patient with me, but write as fast as you can. Yeah? I have to finish this message. So be patient with me. If at some point you think you can't cope, just say, God, I've had enough. God wants us to prosper in all things and be in health, even as our soul prospers. That means God wants your mind, your will, and your emotion, which is your soul, to be prospering. And he wants your body to be prospering. That means your whole humanity, God wants you to prosper in all things. God wants us to prosper in all things. Now, write this down. To prosper means to have enough to live on and in abundance. To prosper means to have enough to live on and in abundance. That is, to have it in excess so that you will not lack. Yes? To prosper is to have enough to live on. First point. And then in abundance or in excess so that you will not lack. So if we say somebody is prospered, that person is not lacking anything. You understand that? If you can't pay your bills, you can't tell me you are prospering. I don't care if you're driving Rolls Royce or something, you are not prospered. It's got to be all around that you have enough to live on. In abundance and in excess, so that you have no lack. That is prospering. God's original intent in all matters financial is for his children to prosper. In fact, Christ became poor so that we will be rich. Isn't that divine exchange that we've been teaching you? Right. We thus don't have to live in lack anymore. Right. Some people, for some reason, they are not able to work. And therefore, God even made a provision for them well before this government thought about social services to provide for them. It's scripture. Leviticus 19 is there. You come to the book of Ruth, chapter 2, it's there. The law of the gleaner, making provision for those who have not. God put it there. That means God does not want anyone to be in lack. That is the challenge that God is bringing to each one of us, guys. So I want you to hold on to it. That's God's original intent in financial matters for his children to prosper. And he became poor so that we'll be rich. We thus have no reason to lack anymore. This is God's vow to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because when we read Philippians chapter 9, verse 19, that I pray that you will abound in all things, that my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Isn't it? First, it starts by verse 18. It said, I pray that you abound in all things. And from the definition of prosper, it includes what? Abundance, isn't it? So God wants us to abound in everything. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. Now we're stuck with King James. And be in health, even as thy soul prospers. It is the will of God to prosper you. Prosperity for the believer has to be in all things. In all things. Your health, your mind, your soul, your emotions. Because imagine the soulish torment that Jacob was going through when he was making this journey. He was scared. He was traumatized. He was, fearful. He's going to a place that he doesn't know. He doesn't know who he's going to meet. He was all confused. The mind was confused. The body probably was giving up. All his whole being was giving up. But God said, look, even as thy soul prospers, I want you to prosper. For my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Your health needs, the peace that he needed, the destiny that he needed to get to, everything, the provision that he needed, the home that he needed to come back to be reunited with his people. Because sometimes when you are separated from your people, it brings brokenness. We preached about it. Go and check our website and listen to that. 2 sessions. And Jesus Christ came to heal the brokenhearted. So whatever it is, I just want to encourage you that God, prosperity is for the believer. And it's got to be in all things. So I want you to repeat this after me. God wants me to prosper in all things. Can I hear it one more time? One more time. In case the person sitting near you hasn't heard it, just look at his or her face and say, God want me to prosper in all things. Amen. Those who don't want to prosper, they don't want to say it. They want to live in poverty. Listen to me. I have seen poverty. If you are poor, it's hard. At the moment, quite a number of people have gone on holidays back. Some people are also on holidays already, enjoying themselves, sending me pictures. Others are yet to go. That's wonderful. Sometimes you need a respite to enjoy yourself. If you are poor, you ain't going nowhere. The best place you can go is Deptford Market. Sorry. So, what I'm trying to say that your prosperity start with the knowledge of the will of God. If you know that God wants you to, it's the will of God for you to prosper, not only in financial matters, but your health, your peace, your sanity, your soul, your everything. That is why in this church, we take time to teach you that that inner healing and deliverance is the children's bread. Matthew 15, 28, 26. That God wants to heal his house. God wants to heal his people. God wants to set the captives free. Because if it is a good thing to be demonized or for demons to oppress you, why would Jesus go about and say, set the captives free? And he was doing that and casting out demons. Why was he doing that? Because they oppress people. Some Christians don't want to hear that, but I know too much and so much that I don't want nobody to convince me about that. Hallelujah. So when you come to the knowledge of God, the moment you get to know that it is the will of God to prosper, that is when prosperity starts for you. If you don't know the will of God, you live in ignorance. Do you understand that? See, people who don't know and fight the word prosperity, they live in ignorance. And sometimes some people don't want you to prosper. Now I've seen in many churches, the people who are against prosperity are the people who have big bank balances and investment and other things, but then they don't want their church to prosper. I've been meeting a few pastors recently, and I was so saddened that one particular pastor, amazing guy, he's giving so much of his life to the church. They've given him a manse, that means a property to live in, which is, according to our laws in this country, if you're a pastor of a proper church, they have to give you work accommodated property and pay your bills. They give him the property, but they don't pay none of his bills. And the money that they give him a month is like this, and he has to pay everything from it. And he has 2 children and a wife. And these very same people have houses paved with carpet. When you stand on it, you're sinking in. And they go to church meetings. And then they say, Pastor, I want to see the phone bill. This bill, who did you give it to? How many of you bring your bills to the pastor to look through? And you want to do that to the pastor? Thank God you have no need to do mine because I pay my own bills. Hallelujah. Amen. And we always do because God has prospered me. In case you're here for the first time, it's not a church that is paying me for this, all right? It's God doing that. Most warfare is waged for territories and resources. That's what I learned from Pastor Gamo Maldonado. There's always something fighting your finances struggling with you because the enemy does not want you to sow into the kingdom of God. In other words, the devil wants to stop you from giving into the kingdom of God. So he wages a war against your finances. If your finances are being attacked, how can you live in faith and give to the house of God? The moment you stop giving into the kingdom of God, that is the moment you are in compliance, in agreement with the kingdom of darkness. The ultimate purpose of the devil is to stop you from giving, to put a blockade on your prosperity. Let me repeat that because I quoted it from somebody, so let me quote it properly in case he one day listens to the message and think, oh God, this man has done a mess with my message. I'm quoting this exactly from Apostle Gamo Maldonado. He said, the moment you stop giving in the kingdom of God, that is the moment you are in compliance and agreement with the kingdom of darkness. The ultimate purpose of the devil is to stop you from giving, to put a blockade on your prosperity. When you give to the kingdom of God, when you give to the house of God, when you give into Bethel, that is the sign that the devil has lost his battle to have dominion over your finances. The moment you begin to give in the house of God, that's the sign that the devil has ceased to have dominion over your finances. And that is absolutely so true for me. Because in my secular world, I worked and I earned good money. And sometimes it comes to me and I don't know what I do with it. I enjoy a little bit of life and the money goes like that. It wasn't that I wasn't giving, but I wasn't doing what Jacob said, for all you give me, I will give a tenth to the Lord. And my finances was being attacked. But when my eyes got opened and I did the right thing, my situation changed remarkably. I'm only talking about my experience. Your experience may be different, but I'm just corroborating what has been written in Scripture. Jacob understood this principle. Jacob made the vow for what he wanted to see in his life. If you will be with me, if you accompany me, if the Lord's presence go with me, if the Lord give me provision, if the Lord give me the peace of mind because he was troubled, if the Lord make me prosper, if the Lord make me X, Y, Z and take me to the place, and if the Lord does not keep me as a sojourner in that land forever, but bring me back home so I can see my mother and kiss again, I can see my father and hug again, then whatever God gives me, I'll give a thank. He understood this principle, and he wanted to see that in his life. The vow he made was for things yet to be fulfilled. He saw the outcome, that is the substance of his vow, far before it actually came to pass. He saw himself that he was having the peace. He was having the provision. He was having, the prosperity. He was having all that God wanted to give to him. In case you're thinking I've coined the word prosperity, you will soon read it and you see for yourself. That is exactly what happened to Jacob in his life. By the time he was making this vow, he had nothing. Yet he began to see the end result of the vow that he made. Now, God remembers the vow we make and he linked it to his possibilities to perform his word. His possibility to make sure his word come into pass. When Jesus Christ said in chapter 16, verse 15 to 20, that, look, anyone who becomes saved, anyone who believes in Jesus Christ, God baptized, will be filled with the Spirit, and they shall speak in new tongues, and they shall heal the sick, they shall cast out the devils, they can take Satan captive, and if anything is waged against them, it will not harm them. And the Bible said Jesus was taken to the heavens, and then they went, verse 20 of Mark 16, they went to do exactly what they were told. And the Bible said God confirmed his word. He didn't confirm what they did. He confirmed his word with signs, wonders, and miracles following. So that means God is ready to back his word up. So God remembers the vow we make and link that to his possibility because he's able to do it, to perform his word. God remembers the vow and ensures that the purpose for which it was made will be fulfilled and come to pass, because with God, all things are possible. So if you link, if you make your vow, God remembers and will link it to the vow that he made. Even when you go to Malachi, I believe it's chapter 10, verse 16, it says that God will open up a book of remembrance for you because of your giving, because of your tithes and offerings. He opened a book of remembrance. And when you go to, First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, Colinius says, God said, God, your prayers and your giving has risen up to me, and I have remembered, and I've come to answer you. So God remembers. Is that okay? So don't be afraid. Don't let nobody fool you around. Always, I keep on saying that I am glad I have some education. I'm glad I also was exposed to the secular world, so that I can actually rise up to the top, so that I can sit down and say, look, if you are struggling from the base, I've been there before. If you're a manager, I've been there. If you're a team leader, I've been there before. If you're, director, I've been there before. So I understand all your problems. Not all, but I understand the level of intensity and the heat you take at all these levels. So I speak from experience. Don't think I'm being proud. I'm just telling you the reality of God, what he's done with me. So because with God all things are possible, now turn to Genesis chapter 31, verse 13. If you have your Bibles with you, Genesis 31, verse 13. Look at what God said to Jacob. This was 20 years after he's made the vow. He said, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land. He made a vow to God, if you would take me to that place and look after me, give me peace, give me substance, give me provision, make sure they are prosper and all those things. If you do, I'll do that. And God remembered, because at that time, his father-in-law, Laban, had cheated him. 7 years for his first wife, another 7 years for the second wife, one that he wanted to marry in the first place. It wouldn't have been 14 years. And then 6 years, just serving him, looking after his sheep. And he was still being cheated. But amazingly, he was prospering so much that even Laban's children were jealous of him. So God said, you know what? I need you to get up and go back to your native land. I am. At that time, he had what? 11 children. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land. So God remembered the vow that he made, and he linked it to the church, the Bethel. And his vow that he made, he linked it to the place that he made that vow. He said, now I want you to go back to your family. The destiny that you wanted to be, the provision and the vision that you had in mind, I want you to go and inherit it. You've had enough here. Now you go back. Isn't this amazing? For some of you, probably you're a second generation, first generation immigrant, and you're hoping that one day you go and die in your native land. Perhaps you have to make a vow to take you so that you can go. Hallelujah. This ain't laughing matter. I'm just serious with it. Now, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise and get out of this land and return to the land of your family. What made Jacob's vow powerful and credible was that he sowed into his vow. He made a vow of everything that you put in my hand, I'll give a tenth to you. This man sowed beforehand what he ought to be doing. Time is getting a little bit closer, but I say give me a little bit more time, right? I need about 15 minutes more to go through this. In the name of Jesus. What made Jacob's vow powerful was that he sowed into it with the commitment that for all I receive, I will give a tenth to the Lord. In other words, Jacob saw his future in the now. What is the vow anyway? I've been talking about it. I'm thinking, oh gosh, what's the vow? Do we need a lawyer to interpret this? Let's go to scripture. A vow is one of the ancient laws of the supernatural to prosper you. One of the ancient laws of the supernatural to prosper you. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28. You can take these things down because I need to run fast a little bit. I want you to write, do not move an ancient boundary stone set up by your forefathers. It's one of the ancient laws of the supernatural to prosper you. Because God has put it as an ancient thing. Now, write this one down. A vow is a faith promise for the future. A vow is a faith promise for the future with a condition of paying it back to God. A vow is a faith promise for the future, or you can say future provision if you want to put it that way, with the condition of paying it back to God. In other words, a vow is a promise, a pact, a covenant, a commitment to pay it back. Let's bring it to modern language. It means a credit line open with a promise that you will pay it back in future. Buy now, pay later. You get the goods now, and then you pay back later. So you're making a vow to God, you know what? Now I'm making this vow that if you give me that, I don't know which shop you go and buy your furniture or whatever you buy, but you go and make a promise that you will give it back, isn't it? And when you go on that promise, you made a vow. When you sign it, you've made a vow, a legal commitment, a covenant, an agreement. Sometimes they will ask for some evidence of your passport. These days, they ask for all these things, and then a driving license or some evidence with your picture on it so that they can catch you if you don't pay it back. You see, so as you give it to them, they advance you whatever product you've gone for, HP and all those things, and you haven't paid for it. So you made a vow that I will pay. So literally what I'm saying is that you take the advantage of your vow now because there's a vision that you will pay back. Do you understand that? So Jacob was actually saying that, God, you prosper me now. God, you give me health now. God, give me peace now. God, give me provision now. God, take me back to the land. God, bring me back to my father's house. And when you do, then everything, I will give it to you. He didn't wait for the answer. He did that. And God did his bit. Amen? So a vow is a credit line open with a promise that you will pay it back. A vow is the easiest way to access the heavenly credit. Are you with me? Write it down in case you forget. A vow is the easiest way to access the heavenly credit. Hallelujah. You see, here sometimes we challenge your theology, we challenge your radicality, we challenge everything because the word of God is clear and we have to take it and run with it. That's what Jesus Christ was doing, and then the Pharisees didn't like it because they were comfortable in their maintenance mode. This is the way we do things. This is the way we believe. This is the way we've been taught. We don't want to learn nothing. But Jesus says, open your mind and receive revelation because the word of God needs to be flesh. John chapter 1 verse 14, the word became flesh and dwell among us. So the word of God must become alive. Revelation. Jesus becoming alive. This word jumping onto you so that you can run with it. I'm in a Baptist church, you know. I always have to remind you. But this is the God that we serve. And unless your eyes is opened, you become Our fathers throughout the Bible made a vow to God and he prospered them. Because God kept the vow and does not forget. Because a vow is like an ancient boundary stone that cannot be taken back or moved. So a vow is therefore a covenant, a faith promise to God to sow a seed with the promise that you pay it back. A vow is a credit line. It is a credit line to the heavenly treasures. It is a way of accessing the heavenly inheritance. So use your credit line now. When you go and they advance your credit, they give you a credit card, they say, your credit limit is $2,500. Why are they giving you that? Because they're advancing you so that you can do what? Use it. Isn't it true? I'm an accountant, a proper one too. So what I'm telling you, you should believe me. You know it, don't you? When they give you a credit limit, You think they love you so much? They want you to use it so that you can get a product, isn't it? So the heavenly credit has been advanced to you. Use it and get a product. And product is your prosperity in health, your prosperity in your finance, the peace of mind in your home, in everything, your emotions get doing well, your health doing well, and everything about you, God, making sure your vision and your provision is made. I'm going to let nobody tell me something otherwise. I'll just pick a few more points and I'll leave you for now. And I'll be back. It wasn't my preach at all. It just came. Every believer has a spiritual inheritance that can be assessed by faith with a vow. This transitions the believer with nothing into abundance. You are being transitioned from nothing into abundance. And this is made with a vow. When Jacob made that vow, he had nothing. He didn't have no servant. It wasn't recorded he had servants. He didn't have no security men around him. It was him alone with his, donkey or maybe horse or whatever he had. And he was supposed to trek all the way down there. And he made a vow. And that vow transitioned him with nothing into abundance. If you read the scripture, you can read it from, Genesis chapter 29 up to 33, you see that he prospered so much. He had nothing. So that vow transitioned him, somebody who had nothing, into abundance. So the power behind the vow is this. Why is a vow so powerful? What is the power behind it? When you make a vow unto God, you honor it. So I'll give you the first two and then I'll stop. When you make a vow unto God, you honor it. One, the power behind the vow, why it is so powerful. The Lord will bring your future in the now. The Lord will bring your future in the now. You begin to see yourself in your future. See your future in the now. What did you say, Irene, when you was, the phrase that you said? Well, let me summarize it. I prophesy that your future. I look much better in the future than I look now. I'm sure some of you will be thinking, oh God, this man is going to go gray. I see a lot of people, when they see me, they think I'm 35, 45, I'm more than that. Hallelujah. Because I'm handsome, right? I'm only in competition with Brahma, right? So effectively, what I'm saying is that you have to begin to see your future, that your future is going to be better than it is right now. And that is what Jacob saw. He saw his future as better than what he was right now. He saw that his future was going to be peaceful. He saw that his future, he wasn't going to be without. He's going to be in abundance. He saw his future with many children. He saw his future with enough to live on and in excess and in abundance. He saw the provision of God that he has nothing to eat. And one day when I finished this, when you read those chapters, you see himself. I just said, look, I have enough and in abundance. These were the words from Jacob's mouth. Many times he said, I have enough and in abundance. And yet he didn't have anything because of the vow. So the Lord will bring your future in the now. The things that you are thinking of in the future, he'll bring it in the now. So see your future in the now. You are assessing your future and bringing it into the now. A vow caused God to step into your future and bring it to the now. How do I bring the future into the now? This is achieved through your vow to God. In fact, nothing is achieved without a purpose. The word is without a sacrifice. NIV says purpose, but other translation says a sacrifice. Nothing is without is achieved without a sacrifice or a purpose. You can't just sit there and money falls on your lap because you are praying for it. Hear me, Christians. You cannot sit there and pray, God, give me money. God, change my financial situation. You have to sacrifice something. You got to go and look for that job. You have to go and retrain. You have to go and get yourself scrutinized for people to stress you up. What they have no right to do, but they have a right because they're going to give you some money. You got to submit yourself and everything and go and look for work for that manager you don't like. You got to submit yourself because you want to prosper. You understand that? Am I speaking to someone here? Hallelujah. At least I'm speaking to my wife. Nothing is achieved without a sacrifice, without a purpose. You got a purpose in your mind that you're going to achieve something. And in fact, if you're even studying and you don't make up your mind that you're going to qualify, you will never do. If you go in a job and say, oh, I'm content to be the T-boy, you'll forever be the T-boy. But if you're ambitious, you want to be the manager or something, you'll get there one day. I never said I want to be the manager, but then I purpose in my heart that I will work hard. I will sacrifice. Sometimes I had to go to work early and come in late. Sometimes I have to hang around when everybody was running away. When sometimes Christmas time, everybody wants to leave half day, I want to hang around to be the last person to leave. I had to sacrifice something. You got to have a purpose. Turn to someone and say, you have to have a purpose. So, I probably will end on this point because time is really going fast. Nothing is achieved without a sacrifice. You can't just sit there and money will fall on your lap because you are praying for it. You have to do something for it. And in fact, that is what Psalm 50, verse 5, and then verse 14 and 15 tells us. A vow causes God to step into the future and manifest it in the now. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to have anything now, but God will remember what you have covenanted to give to his house. Even now, and he will prosper you. And I thank God that Jacob said, of all that comes into my hand, I will sure give a tenth to you. Vows are a blessing that you are not even supposed to step into, but because of the vow that you've made, God will go ahead of you 12 months' time, 10 years' time, 20 years' time. The musicians can come back. 20 years' time. And in Jacob's case, God went ahead of him 20 years to bring forth what he wanted to see with a vow. I want to end this message, and I might continue another time. But whatever it is, God said in Genesis 31 verse 13, I am the God of Bethel. I am the God of Bethel, where you made that vow, and where you pour out oil on a pillar and made a vow. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land. Jacob's story is a beautiful, beautiful story of somebody who had an encounter with God, believed God, and God did something. Sometimes I look at my life and I'm really thanking God. I remember when I was leaving the secular world, my executive director looked at me and said, where are you going again, Gideon? I said, I'm going to church. The person laughed so much that, they could have spilled their coffee. Said, church? Said, there's no money in church. I said, I know. I give you 6 months, you'll come back. 6 months, look at who was looking for who. He says, this job is so amazing. It pays so much, has so much perks. It's so powerful, you have so much influence. You influence people in the whole country and beyond. And you are leaving it to go to where? Church. They found out that I was a pastor here. I nearly said, oh, Greenwich is a beautiful place, but I didn't say that. So I left and I came. I didn't know where my next wage is going to come from. But will you believe that I've been here for 4 years and I am amply supplied? Sometimes I'm here and somebody from this church come and just put an envelope in my hand I say, Pastor, God bless you. Hallelujah. I'm not saying give me your money, right? But it's a good thing. And I'm just going to take a break, and I'm just trying to end this story. And I'm going to take a break, and I'm just thinking, oh God, you know what? All that I need is £200. That will buy my petrol. That will keep me running till I come back. And will you believe that in this church, I never told nobody. I told God about it. And I've had that money. It's just incredible how God works. Because I've made a vow to God that of all that comes to my hand, I give a tenth to you. So today, we're going to pray, and I want you to stand up. We're going to pray. And I'm going to encourage you and challenge you at the same time that if you believe this God, you don't have to worry too much. We've spent $500,000 here, and it's not part of your money. So you don't have to worry. We know how our God provides. We're going to pray. And as we're going to pray, I want you to close your eyes right now. You've heard part of this message, part of the message of Jacob. Maybe you're in this church and you think, oh yeah, I'll give my what I could afford. At least I can give the widow's mite, and you know you are not a widow. That is totally disrespect to God and His word. Today God is asking you, what is your vow? What is your vow? What vow are you going to make to God? What is the vision on your mind? What do you want to see? What future do you see yourself? Do you see your future as better now than it is right now? Are you looking for a future that you're going to be healthy? Are you looking for a future that you have the peace of God in your heart? Are you looking for a future that God is going to be your provision? Are you going to make that vow to God today? Seriously think about it. Do you want to emulate Jacob? Do you want to obey Scripture? This is not a gimmickry thing. Some of you have been here for 5 months, 6 months. You've never heard me talk about, preach about money. Because we're not here for that. We're here for people. But today, part of you being a people is to know God's word. What will help you today? I am the God of Bethel. I am the God of the place that you've made the vow. And you honored it. And I've come to take you back. Now you are full. You came empty. Now you are full. I want you to go back. Today, do you want to make that vow? Maybe you're in this church that you've never learned to tithe. Even in your own church, you never learned to do that. I want to challenge you that when you go back to your church, wherever you are from, make sure that you give that tithe, and God is going to honor His word. And if you're in this church that you haven't made that vow, I want to challenge you to make that vow. I'm a living example of that. And you can't say your money has made me good. God has. Are you going to make that vow? Maybe some of you have a fixed income. You made a vow to God, a commitment to God, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, when your income was only 5,000 and you were given £500 a month as a commitment to God, and now you're earning 100,000 and now you're struggling. Still on the same £500. You haven't kept your vow, have you? So today I'm going to ask, your eyes are closed, and as I'm actually talking to you, I'm saying God is opening a credit line to you. So if you're here and you want to give to our general fund to tithe an income, or maybe you've been giving regularly but you want to increase it, maybe for the first time you want to honor God so that God will honor you, I want you to raise up your hand. I want all eyes closed, and then the ushers are there, and they're going to give you a handout so that you can hold it. Remember, when you were praying for God, God give me that job, and God gave you that job, and then the next thing is you put it in your pocket. Really? And you're still struggling, and you want God to give you more? So if you're here, and you want to give to the general fund, you want to tithe your income, you want to make that vow, I want your hand up, and an usher will come and give you one of our giving form. Who wants to make that vow to God? Ushers, can you check out and be fast? Who else want to make a vow to God right now? Don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here and you want to increase your giving. You know you're just being disobedient. You think that it's okay with you. You think, oh yeah, I'm giving the church something. That is fine. People work here. We pay bills. We heat this place. You love this wonderful place. That's the house of God. Who else want to probably increase your giving to God? I don't want you to be looking around so that you'll be looking, oh, is anybody doing anything? I don't need your money. I'm amply supplied. But will you? Now, some of you too probably want to give to the building fund. You're here and you're enjoying the facilities that you have. And you like to contribute to the upkeep of it. You want to do a standing order to it. Who wants to do that? And I will give you a form. Can you project a bank account there? Maybe they don't want to be taken for. Maybe somebody doesn't want to. But if you did, God is going to bless you. Now I'm going to pray. The last thing I'm going to pray for you is that now maybe you want to make a vow for your life. That will be easier. But remember, you want God to bless you, but you don't want to obey Him. This is not gimmickry. I don't preach messages like this every day. But today I feel God wants you to hear it. So today if you hear and you want to give to our building project fund, just show by hand and ushers will give you a form. Who wants to do that? So now make a vow to God and tell God, God, you know what, I want you to do something in my life. And God will do that for you. In Jesus' name. Father God, I pray for your people. I pray that, Father God, your hand will speak to them. I pray that each man and each woman, Father God, convict them that it is for their own blessings that they need to hear from God. Father, I thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Give glory to God. Hallelujah.